When reading through the Bible, I don't know if you've ever said this, but I suspect if I were a betting man, I'm not, but if I were, I'd almost be willing to bet that we have in the assembly today some who've done this very thing. You've read parts of the Old Testament, you've read stories or portions of the Old Testament, and you've come away from that asking yourself the question, why is that in the Bible? Why is that story in the Bible? What am I supposed to learn from that story? If you've ever read through the Old Testament, and I know many of you have, and maybe you have the practice of reading through the Bible periodically, and so obviously you've read through the entire Old Testament. Maybe you've never done that, though. Maybe you've only read portions of it, various sections of it. But my suspicion is that if you've read much at all of the Old Testament, some of you may have come away asking, why is that story in the Bible, and what am I supposed to get out of that? For example, in Genesis 38, we're told the story of one of the older brothers of Joseph, Judah, who took a business trip. And on that trip saw a young woman sitting by the side of the road that he thought was a prostitute. He ended up paying her, had sex with her. Went on his way, went back home. Several months later, he learned that the woman he thought was a prostitute was actually his daughter-in-law. And she was pregnant with his child. You read a story like that and you come away thinking, why is that in the Bible? What am I supposed to do with that? Or then there's a story in Judges 19 which tells of a Levite's concubine who was violently raped. And then later on, her body was dismembered and mailed to various parts of the land. And you come away having read a story like that and you think, what is that? What am I supposed to learn from that? Or the story in 1 Samuel 6 of how several priests were struck dead simply for trying to move the Ark of the Covenant from one place to another, and you come away from a story like that wondering, what am I supposed to learn from that? Because of stories like these and others that I could call attention to this morning, and other passages that talk about rules and laws and customs that are antiquated and sound strange to our ears, I'm convinced that many Christians included have just decided the Old Testament is just not worth the effort. And many have decided that whatever lessons, whatever insights, whatever wisdom might be gained from reading the Old Testament, it's just not worth the time or the effort that it takes to get in there and figure it all out. Now, I don't know if any of you have drawn that conclusion or not, but it really wouldn't surprise me if we have among us this morning some who just kind of have that perspective of the Old Testament. You appreciate the fact that it's there, but as far as your interaction with it and your assessment of it and your opinion of it, you really don't get it. And it's really not something that you ever spend much time reading or thinking about. If you've reached the conclusion that what we call the Old Testament is just not worth the trouble or the time or the effort it takes for you to get in there and dig in and learn what might be there, I want to try and urge you to reconsider. There are many good reasons why the Old Testament is worth your time. If you've got your handout this morning, what we call the pew bulletin that you receive as you come into our facility, you'll find there four blank spaces this morning where I want to share with you four what I believe are good reasons why it's worth your time and effort to get into the Old Testament. Number one, for those of you that like to take notes, maybe you're a note taker and you are going to report this to somebody, Erica, who will grade it and see how good you did. But even if you're not a note taker, maybe this helps you stay engaged and helps you think about what we're talking about. So I urge you to do that. Number one, first of all, at least the Apostle Paul believed this was important, reading the Old Testament and studying the Old Testament, because in his estimation, what we call the Old Testament instructs us and teaches us and helps us in our walk today. And if you're looking for a good way to maybe phrase that on the blank that's provided for you there, the Old Testament is instructional and helpful to us in our walk with Christ. Two verses I want to call your attention to just real quickly this morning. You see one on the screen behind me, 2 Timothy 3:16. In the context of that passage, Paul is writing to Timothy and he's urging Timothy to embrace certain truths throughout this letter. And he reminds Timothy that all Scripture is inspired by God. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but in Paul's mind as he writes that, the Scripture he's thinking about is not what we call the New Testament today. That hadn't even, in many instances, some of those books hadn't even been written yet. And there was nothing known, there was nothing called the New Testament when Paul wrote this to Timothy. The only Scripture that Timothy would have known was what we now call the Old Testament. And it wasn't referred to then as the Old Testament because there was no new to compare it to. It was just the Scriptures, the writings. And speaking about those writings, the Psalms, the prophets, the law, Paul says all Scripture is inspired by God. And it's profitable, he says. Profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the people of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. What we now call the Old Testament, Paul says, reading that, meditating that, knowing that, understanding that, is what adequately equips the people of God for good works. Does that sound important? Does that sound important to you? Do you want to be equipped? Do we as a church that belongs to Christ want to be equipped to do good works? Do we want to be trained in righteousness? Do we need sometimes to be corrected? I suspect we do. Well, where do we go for correction? Where do we go for instruction in righteousness? Where do we go to be equipped to do good works that glorify and honor God? Well, Paul says we go to the Scriptures, and the Scriptures he's talking about here are what we call the Old Testament. Is the Old Testament worth the time it takes to wrestle with some of its strangeness and some of its difficult passages? Paul believed the answer to that question was yes. That's where we go for training in righteousness, so that we can be equipped to do good works that honor our God. Another passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. From about verse 1 down through what we call verse 12, in the early part of that chapter, Paul rehearses some of the sins of our spiritual forefathers, some of the mistakes they made. They grumbled, they complained, they didn't like this, they didn't like that, they bowed their knee to idols. And about down in verse around 10 or so, Paul says, all of this was written for our instruction so that we might not make the same mistakes they made. Is the Old Testament important? Does it help us in any way? Is it worth the time and the effort it takes to work our way through it and its strangeness and its and the difference that it is so clearly on display? At least the Apostle Paul believed the answer to that question was yes. These things, he says, were written for our benefit. God, through His Holy Spirit, has preserved and recorded these stories, many of which truly are strange, and some of which are completely unsettling, for our benefit. They teach us. They help us in our walk with Christ today. If you've reached a point in your walk of faith where you think you can take this portion of the Bible and just jettison it, just remove it, just get rid of it, and never think about it or refer to it in any way, that's a mistake. And I don't know, but what maybe we've encouraged that. And by we, I mean people like me who spend 95% of the time that we preaching from what we call the New Testament. Now, should we quit preaching from the New Testament and preach only from the Old Testament? No. Why? Well, because all Scripture is inspired by God. All Scripture has a place. We don't want to land in just one place all the time. There's more to be learned. We don't want to just deal with those passages that are easy, that we like, that are comfortable, that are familiar. Sometimes we need to get into some stuff that unsettles us. And we need to think, what's that for? What's that speaking to? Why did God put that there? It must have had a reason. How can that help me? How does that teach me? How does that train me in righteousness? How can that help me in my walk with Christ? We don't want to just isolate ourselves in one familiar section of Scripture. When we do that, we miss out on the richness that is the entire collection of inspired writings. So, one very good reason, I'm convinced, to spend some time in the Old Testament, to read those strange stories, to work through some of those difficult passages, is because Scripture itself says that material was given to us by God Himself to teach us and instruct us in righteousness and to train us and equip us for good works. That's one reason. Number two, while some of the stories, admittedly, in the Old Testament are strange, and some of them are perplexing and frustrating and difficult to deal with, what we get in the Old Testament, I think, is a realistic view of broken life under the sun. One person has put it this way. He says, "The Old Testament portrays the world as it is, no holds barred. In the pages of the Old Testament, we find passionate stories of love and hate, blood-chilling stories of rape and dismemberment, matter-of-fact accounts of trafficking in slaves, stories of high honor and cruel treachery. But think about it," he says, "nothing in life as we experience is neat and orderly. The world as we encounter it is often unfair, messy, and confusing. For all of its challenges, that's the kind of world we encounter in the pages of the Old Testament." The Old Testament gives us a very real picture of life under the sun. Life under the sun is broken. It's often unfair. It's often messy. And that's what we encounter in the pages of the Old Testament. Listen to this from the words of Solomon. I observed all the oppression that takes place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed with no one to comfort them. The oppressors have great power and their victims are helpless. So I concluded that the dead are better off than the living. But most fortunate of all are those who are not yet born, for they have not seen all the evil that is done under the sun. That's real. That's right. There is a lot of oppression in this world. There are people in power who wield that power unjustly. There are people who are victims and who are powerless and who have no recourse to do anything about it. That's not fairy tale. That's real. You read that in the Old Testament. You have to wrestle with that in Solomon's writings. You have to say, yeah, life is not always the way we'd like it to be. How do we deal with that? How do I understand that? How do I believe in a good God when bad things happen in the world? Some of the stuff we read in the Old Testament pushes us, forces us to ask questions like that, to think deeply about life and our place in it, and how we can have faith and hope even in the face of obstacles and unfairness. The Old Testament brings those kinds of issues to the front and makes us wrestle with real life challenges and issues, issues that we face in a broken world. Another good reason to reconsider spending some time in the Old Testament is because we cannot accurately understand the New Testament without having some understanding of the Old Testament writings themselves. Try reading the book of Galatians and understand what Paul is saying there when he talks about the free woman and the slave woman with no understanding at all of the historical context of what that means. Try reading the book of Romans, where Paul talks so much about Abraham and faith and the role that faith plays in our faith and coming to God. Try reading that book with absolutely no understanding of who Abraham is or what it means to have faith as he had it, and see if you can really understand the book of Romans. Try understanding Hebrews. Do you remember that study 2 years ago that some of you hated? Amen? Be honest. Some of you didn't like that. Now, some of that may have to do with the fact that some of us presenting the material were flawed, as we obviously are, but I suspect a lot of us didn't like that study because Hebrews is full of stuff that we know nothing about. Sacrifices and Melchizedek and covenants and priesthoods and all that Old Testament stuff. That's why some of us didn't like that book. It talked about stuff we don't know anything about. And so our conclusion was, wow, this is a waste of time. Why are we studying this book? And think about it, even the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, pretty much everything we know about the life and the teaching and the ministries of Jesus, you can read those books with absolutely no understanding of the Old Testament, but you're going to miss so much. If you don't know the story about how when the Israelites, the sons of Israel, were wandering around in the wilderness, how God fed them with manna from above, If you know nothing about that, you're really going to be limited to understand what Jesus meant when he said, I am the bread of life that comes down from heaven, and whoever eats of this bread will never die. When you don't know the contrast Jesus is making there, how he's comparing himself to the manna from heaven, the bread from heaven that came down to the sons of Israel, and how now he is the bread of heaven that comes down and gives life to all. If you don't know that, you miss that completely. You don't understand what Jesus is really saying there, the contrast he's making about how he's different than the manna that the children of Israel ate in the wilderness. They ate it and got hungry again. They ate it and died. But all who eat this new bread from heaven will never get hungry again and will never die. Jesus is bread from heaven. How do we understand that if we don't have some understanding of what happened to the sons of Israel when they wandered in the wilderness? And as Mark shared today, how do we get communion? How do we understand what this means if we have no understanding of what Passover means? What we take each week, communion, has its roots in the Passover. And if we don't know anything about Passover, if we don't have a clue what that is, how can we really appreciate and understand what it means to take communion? Passover reminded the sons of Israel of how God, through Moses, had delivered them from captivity. When we don't know that, we really don't get what it is that Jesus has done for us. Like Moses, who led the sons of Israel out of bondage and slavery, Jesus has led us out of slavery to sin. And that's what we celebrate when we share communion. We've been set free. His sacrifice has freed us. But that doesn't mean all that much to us if we have no context from which to understand it. It just becomes something we do every week. Just a little cup of juice and a little piece of bread, and we do it and we're done. There's so much more to it than that. But if we don't know that story, if we don't know those are our people and that we have flown out of that story of God, we really don't understand that. And we miss so much. But one more reason, and this may be the best one of all. What we call the Old Testament is the Bible Jesus loved. It's the Bible Jesus used. It's the Bible our Lord and Savior quoted and memorized and taught from when he spoke to people about Scripture and about God. What we call the Old Testament is the Bible that Jesus loved. Philip Yancey wrote a book a few years ago with an interesting title. He called it The Bible Jesus Read. He says, when we read the Old Testament, we're reading the Bible Jesus read and used. These are the prayers Jesus prayed, the poems he memorized, the songs he sang, the bedtime stories he heard as a child, the prophecies he pondered. How dare we take the Scriptures, the Bible that Jesus loved and used, and say, ah, that's worthless. That's no good. That doesn't do me any good. What? That's the Bible Jesus loved, quoted when he was being tempted by Satan. And that's where his mind went on the cross when his body was racked with pain. To Psalm 22, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Let me urge you to reconsider. If you've come to the point in your life where you can look at the Bible Jesus loved and read and say, that's no good, that's worthless, there's nothing in that for me, I would urge you, reconsider. this is good stuff. Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, there's stuff there we don't understand. Yeah, there's weirdness there. There's difficult there. There's stuff that frustrates us and we can't explain it, but we need to wrestle with it. We need to know it as much as we can so that we can be the people God has called us to be. All right, so what are we doing with all this? Where are we going? Here's where we're going. Each year, first Sunday of the year, you've come to expect this. I try to have some plan for where we're going to go in the coming year as far as preaching goes. Here's what I'm, Lord willing, going to try to do this coming year. We're going to spend some time in the Old Testament. Oh, no, how are you going to do that? I get it. But we need to do it. We don't just need to come in here and go to familiar passages that we all know and all love and I got it. We need to be stretched every once in a while. Deal with some stuff that maybe is not all that comfortable. So, Lord willing, starting next week, I'm going to preach a series of lessons on relationships and friendships and why that's important. And two of those lessons are going to come from the Old Testament. And the entire series actually is built on a passage out of Ecclesiastes where Solomon talks about the importance of companionship and friendship and relationships. Following that, Lord willing, we're going to look at several really weird stories out of the Old Testament. I've already alluded to some of them this morning. And we're going to ask the question, what is that there for? What do I get out of that? How does that help me in my Christian life today? And then later on this year, if I can do it, I'm going to try to preach from one of the, what I think is the most neglected sections of Scripture in the entire Bible, and that is the books of prophecy. I'll need your help on that one. Pray for me. Because my challenge will be to take those ancient words, as that song that we sang earlier, is to take those ancient words and somehow make them relevant. To somehow take something out of Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah and those old books whose names, some of them we can't even pronounce, and get something out of it that will help me today in my walk with Christ. I want to try and do that. Because I believe what Paul says is true. All Scripture is inspired, and that means it's beneficial. It's good for us. It'll help us in some way. We may have to dig. We may have to look for it. It may not be easy. But if we'll do some digging, if we'll do some thinking, if we'll get in and work at it, I'm convinced there's gold there to be mined, to be used, that will help us in our walk with Christ. But one final thing this morning, if you've been waiting for something that might sound like a sermon today, this is it. So here we go. Whatever part of Scripture we study from this coming year, whether Old Testament or New, the goal of Bible study, the goal of preaching, the goal of what we're doing in this time frame is not just to know something new. It's not just to know something else. It's to get to know the God who gave us this. The goal of Bible study is not knowledge, it's transformation. It's coming to know the God of Scripture, and in coming to know the God of Scripture, He transforms us and changes us into the people He wants us to be. So the goal in these lessons will not just to be to learn something new, not just to look at something different, but to try and come to a better understanding of our Creator and what He wants from us, His people. There's a passage in John where Jesus was having a conversation with a group of really religious men. And they thought they knew the Scriptures really well, and they did. But Jesus said to them, "You don't realize that the very Scriptures you know are pointing to me." We don't want that to happen to us. We don't want to be people who know Scripture but don't see where that Scripture is pointing us. The Scripture is pointing us to Jesus. And so the goal is not just to learn something new, but to see Jesus in all of His glory and to somehow be transformed by Him through His Word and the principles and the things that He's teaching us about our Creator and Him and our life in the kingdom. And so we want to keep that as our goal, to be changed, to be transformed by our Creator and His Son, Jesus Christ. So, let's ask God to help us do that, and we'll be through. Let's pray. God, we gather here each week for 30 minutes or so of time where we open up the Word, and I pray that as we plan to do that this coming year, that You will join us on those occasions, that Your presence will fill this room, and that You will guide our thoughts, that You will reveal Yourself to us in new ways, that we will not just gather here to learn something different, something new, but that we will leave here having learned more of who You are and Your will for us, so that we might live out that will better in this community and in the world beyond. Help us as we study Your Word this year. Help us to appreciate it and love it as Jesus did, all of it, and to see it all as what we need to be the people that You're calling us to be. Thank You for this church, for this family that meets here regularly, that encourages each other and tries to walk in this community faithfully for You. Help us to do good works this year and to be salt and light in this community. We pray this as a family of believers this morning in the name of Jesus. And we all said, amen. All right, amen. Find somebody to bless. Find somebody to bless. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine on you and give you peace.